Hallelujah. They shall know the truth. There's power in this gospel. Hallelujah. And we're thankful for that tonight. We are here thanking God, not with a sad story of being missionaries. And I will try my best to be careful of the time tonight. But what a powerful move of God here tonight. I do believe it's the will of God that we impart to one another. And who knows, when we come to church feeling like we could fight the devil, and I know we're never alone in that, but there is a brother or sister who has been struggling that needs us to impart that faith and that strength to them. We need one another. We're not in this alone. I said we need one another. Hallelujah. I want my wife to come and let her start tonight, and I'll be like the with the big broom and sweep up the remainder. Amen. I'm so glad. We're gonna celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary December the 1st. And she's been a good wife, and I love her and appreciate her, and so happy she's with me tonight. God bless you, Sister
Abigail. Amen. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I also want to reiterate what Brother Abernathy has said. Brother and Sister Cox, we love you dearly. And I don't mind being mom two or mom three or whoever. I have been mom to many, and I'm so thankful we love them so much and to be with their family and with all of you as well. And I was thinking as we were worshiping and we were shouting Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets, that's exactly what it's all about, because he came to seek and to save the lost. And I am so thankful to be a part of the family of God. And in those 40 years that we did as missionaries, I think that that was probably the highest honor in our whole life, is to be a missionary. And we were so thankful for what God did in that time. We're so thankful for the church that has supported us. They supported us for 40 years, some since 1981 when we were appointed as missionaries. And as David said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I can truly say, in all of the years, we have never been without, because God has always provided. And he is a great God. He is a great God. He is a good God. He is an awesome God. He is a God of power. He is a God of healing. He is a God of miracles. And I am so thankful. I, with Brother Cox, believe tonight there have been miracles that you are going to testify about. Don't let the devil or the enemy or anybody steal from you what God has given, because he has done it tonight. Amen. I just love the Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. I really appreciate the presence of the Lord. And you know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means if you want to shout, you can shout. If you want to dance, you can dance. We danced in Africa, and I do miss that so much. But I'm so thankful that God had done so many wonderful things in our lives. And I'm just going to share a few. When we first got to Zambia, we didn't have a children's ministry, because the ministry of children, they felt children were, they were to be outside. They just were not to be, they were not recognized. When it came to eating, it was the dad, the mom, the guest, or the guest and the dad, the mom. And then if there was anything left over, they would bring the children in. They never ate together. And so, to my surprise, there was no Sunday school that was taking place. They were reaching the adults, they were reaching the youth, but there was no Sunday school. And I got a report when we started our Sunday school children's ministries, and I got a report that, Sister Abernathy, we had 500 in service, and 11 and a half received the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, 11 and a half? What in the world? And so I called the pastor. I said, Pastor, what does this mean? He said, oh, it was 11 adults and one child. And I said, no. That child is a soul. That child is whole. And we are going to claim there was 12 that got the Holy Ghost in that conference, in that meeting. So the concept was very, it was challenging at first. But then we had thousands of children that were in our crusades, our ministries, and we saw hundreds receive the Holy Ghost. We saw the children laying hands on the children, and I like what Brother Cox did. When you lay hands on someone, put it on their head because you can reach them that way, and the children were reaching up, and they were touching them, those that had the Holy Ghost, and I'm so thankful that I was a part in establishing that ministry. And then we had, I had noticed that in our youth was already established as far as being able to have meetings, but and I'm just talking about areas that I was personally involved in getting, helping my husband in getting started. He did the ministers and the pastors, and then I was involved in the other areas with him. And the Esther Timothy was born in 2010 in Zambia because we noticed that our young people were not retaining them. We did not hold them in the church. And so I thought, Lord, help me. Help us to know what to do to be able to hold our young people. Because young people, you are important. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. And we trust you and we believe in you and we need you to hold on to the truth. And so we started Esther and Timothy Ministries, where we reached the young ladies and the young men. And in the Esther and Timothy Ministries, we saw retention. We saw growth in our young people. We saw them grow up to be adults and get married. And now, Brother Mwanza, our bishop, our superintendent in Zambia, he called Brother Abernathy and I, and he said, we just licensed several Timothys that were in the Timothy meetings. That's what it's all about, is seeing. And it's because of churches that support through their prayers, through their sacrifices and giving. It's because of that we were able to see these things happen. But God is so awesome. So we saw the Timothy Esters just grow. In fact, they still keep texting me, the young people do, and they say, Mom, we miss you. You started us on this path. And I write them back and say, keep moving forward. Don't ever stop. Just keep moving forward. Amen. And then we were involved in the Bible school. We had 2-year full-time classes, 6 hours a day they were in class for 2 years. And in those 22 years, the last 22 years we spent in Zambia, we had over 260 graduates that are now working in the ministry. Some of them are even, our national board is made up of Bible school students. So we see that moving forward, because in 2014, they became a nationalized work. And there was one of these Bible school students, Brother Raman Mbewe. He was always an evangelist, and he was always preaching, and he was always winning people to the Lord. But he met a great challenge when he became a pastor. And when he got, one day he was there, and there was a knock on his door. And one of the young people, young ladies in the church, she had not been coming very long to the church. She came, and she's knocking on his door, and she's crying. And she said, Pastor, my sister has passed away, and they're getting ready to take her to the morgue. But I know you preach about Jesus, and you said that he can lift him up. And so Pastor Mbewe said, for a moment, I thought, oh, Jesus, I've taught it, I preached it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. So he walked all the way to her home, and when he got there, the parents were surprised to see, why are you here, Pastor? She's dead. He said, yes, but I know a God, and I know a God that is life, and he is life everlasting. And he said he began to pray for this sister. And as he began to pray for her, you already know it, Jesus never fails, and she came to life. But from the result of that, her mom and dad came into the church, and her family are now serving God. That's the power of the living God that we serve. I am so thankful to know who he is. And I'm so thankful I know his name. Amen. And then we had ladies' ministries. I was the ladies' president from 1998 when we arrived in Zambia until 2020 when we came home. And it was only in the last 2 weeks that the board allowed me to step down from being ladies president. And when I first arrived, we had 489 ladies in attendance. And by the time we left, when I left it, of course, you know, COVID came in 2020, so that kind of put a damper on that whole year. But the year before, we had over 1,300 ladies that was in our ladies' conference. And we thank the Lord because it's not just stopping there. They had ladies' conference last year, and there were over 1,200 ladies in that conference. And there were 15 that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is still doing it. He's pouring out his spirit, and I am so thankful for that. And then we had the women with the ladies' ministries. We had what was called the WISH, which is Women in Spirit and Health. We would go to the village areas where they were, and we would teach them in spirit and in truth. And then we would always incorporate health benefits because we were in the rural areas. And I remember somebody had asked me one time, "Have you ever heard anybody get the Holy Ghost in English?" And I said, "You know, I have never heard that before. I've just only, they've told me they got the Holy Ghost." And you could see a change in their face. And so, the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I began to pray. I said, "God, if I'm selfish in this, please forgive me. But I really would like to hear somebody receive the Holy Ghost in English, just for people that ask me." And so we were in a remote area, the Women in Spirit and Truth, or Health, and we were there. And we began to pray. And there was several ladies that were lined up. And Sister Daka, the lady secretary, called me over. And she said, "Mama, you've got to hear this." And when I got over there, the young lady was praising God in English. And I said, "Oh, she knows English." "Oh, no, Mama. She knows no English. This is the Holy Ghost, and she's speaking in English." God allowed me to see that, and I am so thankful. I never saw it again, but you know what? That's okay. God can give anybody the Holy Ghost in any language that he chooses as long as they yield to him. And then I remember there was a time whenever we had ladies that were lined up in Malawi. We had about 8 ladies that were praying for the Holy Ghost in one of our conferences. And the ladies, they couldn't get the Holy Ghost. So one of the sisters came to me, the superintendent's wife, and she said, "Oh, I bet they're dealing in witchcraft," because they all had babies on their backs. And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, I'm sure of it." So she just jerked those babies off of their backs. And sure enough, there was a little charms around their neck. There was charms around their bellies. And so she said, "Sister Abernathy, explain to them they need to remove those charms." And so I explained to them. They removed the charms. We put them all in a jar. And we took the jar away. And I told them, I said, "Now, if you will trust God, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost." All 8 ladies received the power of the Holy Ghost. The devil cannot stop what God wants to do. Don't allow the devil to influence you, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I am so thankful to know a God like that. And there was one time that we had a pastor and his wife. They were praying for children. And of course, in African culture, in Zambia, if you didn't have children, you know, then you could trade your wife and you could get her sister. Well, we did not agree to that in the church, as you might imagine. So we were like, "No, we're going to pray." And so we began to pray for this one couple. They had been married like, I think, 10 years and had not had a child. And we began to pray. Then we got notice that they had had twins. And so, you know, we were rejoicing. Then we got notice about a year later that they had a little girl. Then we got notice about a year later they had another set of twins. And then we found out she was expecting again, and the pastor called the head office and said, "Please stop praying. We don't need any more children." So I'm so thankful that God is a God that we can trust and we love him. God bless you.
Hallelujah. I know some of you may not, I know I've asked this, especially young people, they don't know who Brother Urshan was. It's hard to believe for me, but that's one thing he said he was pretty good at. He could pray for people that needed children, and God would answer that prayer. Amen. You know, it's awesome, everything that we're talking about tonight. It's awesome when you realize that this church has a part in every bit of it. Your handprint is on what has happened. If you hadn't helped us to go as others together, that's why I love United Pentecostal Church. I told the Zambians, I said, if I squint, I'm looking at the clock. I told the Zambians, I said, you know, if you cut me, I will bleed United Pentecostal Church. The reason I said that was because I wanted them to understand that I believe in what we are doing as an organization in reaching this world with this gospel. And I believe that we preach the truth. And I would tell them a lot of times afterwards, now if United Pentecostal Church backs up on the truth of the apostles' doctrine, then I will send my card in and say, thank you very much, but I must move on. Because more than an organization will not save anyone. It's only the gospel that sets men free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and I'm going to try to sandwich in some things here and build a little faith and help us to realize that God is doing a great work, and we have a part in it. Amen. Let's stand, if you will. I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies fall before you by the sword. Notice the multiplication gets so much larger, but there's a fact that it's better to have five than two, five than three, five than one. Amen. And it's also better to have 100 than 50. In other words, together we can accomplish so much more. That's why I love United Pentecostal Church, because it's not just the Pentecostal Church of Harvey, but it's all the churches working together, all the pastors working together. And in the same, let's boil it down to here. It's not just Pastor and Sister Cox, but it's every minister leader in this church working together, and all the saints of God working together, that revival can shake this city and this area together. Everyone say together. It's important for us to understand that. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. We know that we can get more done by two. We know also that we can get a better return for our efforts of two. It's easier to do the difficult job with two people or three people. Please understand today that we have to understand without a doubt that this is not a one-man show. This is a body of Christ, members in particular, whom God has placed in the body as it pleases Him, that the body can work effectively and it can accomplish the will of God in 2023. It matters not how dark and gloomy this world looks. God is still God. Revival is still happening. I'm telling you, the church is still moving on. Right now, somebody's repenting somewhere. Right now, somebody's being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. Right now, somebody's receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. He went on, and another scripture says, woe to him that is alone. When he falls, he has no one to help him. Prayer is so vital. Amen. Let's say I'm not alone. Come on, church. Let's say I'm not alone. Don't be wore out. I'll not keep you longer than 9:30. Amen. Just kidding. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless right now as only you can. We give it to you right now. Let your will be accomplished. God, touch our hearts and our minds. Stir us, Lord, for your will to be accomplished now. Your will to be accomplished. Everyone say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Prayer is vital, and I know I'm talking to the choir. I want to say thank you to this church for sharing your pastor in prayer ministry for the District of Illinois. God will bless you especially for that. Thank you for sharing your pastor's wife in the ladies' ministry. It takes a lot of time and effort in their part, and sometimes they're gone. But God will bless you for that sacrifice. Amen. But prayer is so important. I never forget in Malawi, we had a situation that we met on the board, and this church was not having services for some reason, and we were trying to find out why. And instead of having people in the church, the cows and the goats had moved into the church. It's a rural church, mud floor, mud walls, and said, what's going on? And they said, you don't understand. The witch doctors in our area have sent the crocodiles after us and have threatened us that if we preach and continue what we're doing, that the crocodiles will come and take our children and take us. And so they became very fearful. And we talked and we prayed and we talked and we prayed. And then finally we said to them, well, you know, here's the situation. We've got other churches that need roof. And we'll take your metal sheets off of your roof and take them to another church because we're shortage on funds, because we're not leaving a roof for cows and chickens and goats. And so I said, but at the same time, we're at the beginning of our prayer and fasting seminar with the pastors and wives. God can give you the answer to this situation. And we begin to pray. Brother Cox, it was so funny. It was the first one we had like that for a long period of prayer. And it was only 3 days of fasting. But to them, it was like death. I mean, one pastor said, oh, Pastor Abernathy, I will die. I will die. I said, brother, trust me, you will not die. Just endure to the end and you shall make it. And when he got done, he was wondering when we're going to have the next one. Powerful meeting. Powerful meeting. Since then, they have it every year. But after we finished that prayer and fasting, that kind of left my mind of that situation. And all we had decided was we're sending a group of men down there to take the roof off and move the sheets to a nearby church and put it on there so they would have the benefits of those iron sheets. And then I got a message from the rural areas. They said, Brother Abernathy, no need to take the sheets. When they went back home, they're experiencing revival. God has opened the door and people are being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost. Prayer makes a difference. Together, united together in prayer makes a difference. You're not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Amen. One may be overpowered, but the Bible goes on to say two can defend themselves. And then it talks about a three-strand cord is not quickly broken, and how true that is. I'm thankful that I'm not in this battle alone. Every time as a missionary overseas, we knew we were not alone. I need to share a few testimonies here. I got up one morning and my wife fixed a great breakfast. We enjoyed it. And I felt such a burden I couldn't shake. And my wife was in washing the dishes. And I said, honey, I don't know exactly what it is, but I feel a tremendous burden and we need to pray. And she said, is it all right if I finish the dishes? I said, yeah, I'll get my guitar. I always like to sing and play my guitar and get into the frame of worship and in the beginning of my prayer. And so when she came, I'd already got into prayer, and all of a sudden such a burden came upon me. God, place a hedge around my family. Protect my family. Lord, you are able, no matter what comes against us, that you could put a hedge of protection. I could not shake that. And then just a short time, maybe a half hour or an hour, I felt that lift. And we went on about our day, and I felt victory in that. And you know, God can give you that faith and that victory feeling, and still you're not really sure what it was all about. And so that evening, we went to some friend's house, and we had pizza and played games, and it was a nice time. But we came home a little bit later than what we normally did. And there in Malawi at the time, you have walls that are yay high. On top of the wall is cement and broken glass. And it's all for security because it's very seriously, you got to be careful. And so we hooted the horn at the gate, and I was waiting for the guard to open the gate, and he delayed. And I wondered, what's wrong? We had just gotten some baby puppies, so I thought, well, maybe he's trying to get the puppies before he opens the gate. And all of a sudden, I felt a presence beside me, and a 9mm went off. And I realized, you know, that's not a puppy situation. I still jump to this day at sounds. And so they ordered us out of the car, one in front of the car, the one who shot. I don't know why they shot again. I picked up the two shell casings the next morning. My wife was out of the car. They were pointing the gun at her, telling her to throw her purse down. And in my mind, I was praying, God, let them just lead us through the gate and not come into the house. Let them just take the car and go. And I heard the engine roar, and they took off. Full tank of gas, leftover pizza, our monthly pay in my wife's purse. You know, but we were okay. You know, life's more than just things. And so my wife went to Baptist missionaries that we knew that was at that time teaching my son some piano and good friends. And she stayed there. And I had to break a window to get into the house because I didn't know if they would come back. And they had all our keys. And so my wife was there at Workman's house. And she tells the story how she prayed that night and said, God, I'm ready to go home. If you could just tell that man over there. We've been in Africa a long time. It's time to, you know, let's go home. And the Lord spoke to her, said, did not I call you to prayer this morning? Did not I protect you and your family? You know, God knows the beginning from the ending. Anytime you feel an urgency to pray, it may not be for you, but it doesn't matter who it's for. Find a place and pray, because God still answers prayer. My wife found out later that a saint... Say that. 3 months later, that somebody in the States had contacted her, and they were called to prayer at the same time we faced that situation. We're not alone. Somebody's interceding for you. Somebody's praying for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You think about David. He was against the Philistines. The Bible says he became weary and faint. There was a son of the giant who... This man had a spear that was 7.5 pounds in brass. He had a brand new sword. He said, I'm going to kill David. But David was thankful he wasn't alone that day, I promise you, because his friend, Abishai, took and smote and killed that enemy of David. Please understand today, you may feel like you're all alone like Elijah, but God said there's 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal. We're not alone. We're fighting this battle together. Zambians are praying for you as you are praying for Zambians. Oh God, help us to understand that we're not in this battle alone. In fact, heaven is fighting the battle for and with us. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, read in Daniel. It happens. The Talmud teaches that which they expand, I should say, and interpret the what is called the Torah law to make relevant for the daily lives of the Jews. And this is what it says. A man without a companion is like a left hand without a right hand. My goodness. First of all, let's forget about all of you that are sitting here. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm with you always. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why am I saying this? Because as a missionary, we reminded ourselves over and over again, I'm not alone. We may feel like we're by ourselves, but there's churches in America that are praying for us. Not only are they praying, but they're supporting us financially. And not only financially, but they're supporting us in their prayers. Oh God, help us to realize we need one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we put all our efforts together, there's something miraculously that takes place. In Africa, thank you, Pastor, for coming and blessing our pastors and pastors' wives with your daughter. And I believe you'll go back to Africa should the Lord tarry with your wife. It's amazing in Africa. They will sing songs. Oh, my goodness. Time is getting by. I'm going too slow here. They will sing songs and praise God throughout the song service. But then when it comes to the Word of God, something happens. They say, now we're going to sing a worship song because we've come to the most important part of the service, the preaching of the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you can feel a connection. Boom. Every thought into captivity. Everyone thinking and pulling in the same direction. And when they sing that song, you can feel the Shekinah move into that. The atmosphere, so electrifying, so powerful. And I told them over and over again, what would happen in your services if when you first walk through those doors, you would plug in like you plug in when you said, let's sing a worship song. People could receive the Holy Ghost during your praise and worship. People could receive the healing during your praise and worship. Saints of God, when we come to the house of God, we've got to bind ourselves together in one mind and one accord. And I promise you, suddenly something's going to happen. Just like the day of Pentecost. Reminds me of Cornelius in his household. He said, Peter, we're all here. And we've come to hear all that God has given you for us. There's something happens when everyone is plugged in together. Joined together. God sees that. It moves the heart of God. And while Peter yet spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. God, help us to be together in one mind and one accord. Help us to preach together, witness together, work together. Somebody say hallelujah. What happens? Walls of Jericho fall down. Amen. Our enemies will always be defeated. The gates of hell cannot withstand a church that is together with Jesus Christ. What would happen if we would all go to war together? What would happen if we would all sing and worship God with our minds focused on Jesus? As your pastor said, I don't sing for you. You don't sing for me. We're lifting up Jesus Christ. And when we lift him up, all those that need him can be drawn to him. I'm telling you, when we fast together, worship together, something happens. Souls will be saved. Hallelujah. We were blessed. When we got to Zambia, I found they were not paying their tithes. I'm talking about pastors. I'm not throwing stones at them. You know, people get in this mindset, I'm too poor to do that. You know, I got 5 chickens, 2 goats, and I got a field that I work hard to plow, and that's by hand. And I pray for rain. and we survive from one crop to another. When the dry season comes, we'll eat one meal a day and try to make do. And so we're just too poor. I started preaching. Now imagine, here's a white man. I hate that, to say that, and I don't mean that bad. And I think you know, if I spent 40 years in Africa, you know I don't mean that bad. But in their eyes, you're an American. You're rich. You got everything you need. And I kept trying to tell them, the standards of America, I'm on the low side of the medium. And they couldn't gather that. And that's fine. I didn't try to deal with that. But you know what? I stood on the Word of God and I said, you are closing the blessing of God from you because you're not giving. And if you will obey the Word of God and give, as the Bible says, He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. That Bible is for Zambia and Africa as well as it is for Harvey. We used to drive and come to campground, or actually it was conference, and we were the only car. Now you have to look for a parking place. I'm not exaggerating. They have to have men to help to park the vehicles because they opened up to the idea to realize that you cannot rob God of tithes and offering and giving and be blessed of God. And they've learned that secret, and God's blessing him. Please hear me today. You will never outgive the Lord. And when you give to souls, global home missions, that is the heartbeat of God. And I have a pastor in this district that says to people, and I'm so embarrassed, he said, it's because of this missionary that I have a new church building paid off. And it's because I tried to encourage him, don't stop giving in your missions to build your building. Trust God. God will work a miracle, and God worked a miracle. He has a debt-free building. That's not Brother Abernathy, that's God. That's together, working together, working together. We're not alone. Working together. Hallelujah. Working together. Well, we got there. Sad to say, as superintendent, to sack some off of the executive board or general board because they would not pay their tithes, but that was a tough nut to crack. But at the end of the day, last time we were there, Brother Cox, at a general conference, we have our elections, and the secretary usually says, okay, let me see who is not paying their tithes because you can't vote, you have to sit in the back. And there was not one pastor that he could find. I give God the glory. Not one. You say, that's little. No, that's big. They're building their own buildings today. Hello? Hear me. They're building their own buildings today. I didn't do that. I taught them, don't look to St. Louis. The Bible doesn't say my St. Louis will supply all my needs. My missionary will supply all my needs. The Word of God says my God shall supply all our needs. Together, everyone say together. When we do it together, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Tower of Babel, I'm not going to talk about it. You know that story. There's nothing that we can't do when we are united in the right way, in God's spirit, in God's way. God can help us do anything. I found disunity. My wife and I, seriously, we have many tribes, many tongues in Zambia, and there were two that were really divided. The only thing I knew to do is you get what you preach, you get what you teach. So I told my wife, I said, babe, we're going to have to bite the bullet. We're going to have to drive 4 hours a week to this certain area, call all the pastors together and teach. And we did that for about a year to 2 years and taught. And God worked a miracle. He brought unity. We're one in Christ. We're one in vision. same blood, same spirit, same purpose. God moved those barriers, and today the work is so powerful, not because of Brother Abernathy, because the Word of God is quick, powerful, and effective. My wife said Bible school. I'm not going to go into that. We have a sign, enter to learn, leave to serve. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That was a key to developing our work in Zambia. That was a key. I started out early in the ministry of calling pastors together in Lusaka, teaching them in-depth teaching on oneness. And it was quite amazing to see as their eyes were open, their minds were illuminated, and they saw this great truth of who Jesus really is. And it revolutionized their work. And we did that in Bible school. We had a purpose to set up a curriculum that was strong in apostolic doctrine. Very strong. I'm talking about we spent 3 terms on oneness, 3 terms on new birth, 3 terms on holiness, because those things are so vital. We can't be saved without holiness. We can't. It's not icing on the cake. It's a doctrine like every other doctrine that we believe. It's important. Everyone say amen. So we train pastors and ministers, and today we see them preaching the same as what they learned. We taught them in Bible school prayer every day, fasting at least 1 day a week. It wasn't just for the school budget. Thank you, honey. That's why I have a good wife. I am going to be 70 this year. School budget. But it was because we wanted them to get something that when they leave Bible school, it was a part of their training that it would become their lifestyle after graduation. I'm sorry. I'm really concerned about time. I really am very sorry about that, but I know I'm going long here. Let me wind this up. I had a missionary just recently ask me about nationalization. And that's one of the things that we are reaching for and a goal. Because when you nationalize a work, you are saying that they have come to a place of self-financing, self-governing, self-propagating. So it's important that we know they've reached the right stage for that. It took a lot of teaching to teach what that means. One man asked me in a meeting, I'm saying this because it's little things that we had to deal with, and I want you to know the end of this picture, I'm going to give you some statistics to let you know what you've had a part in, okay? And before I go, one pastor said, Brother Abernathy, when we're nationalized, this was early before I really started teaching hard about it. He said, when we are nationalized, does that mean our superintendent will get a car like you have a car? And we'll get a house like you have a house? And then it really dawned on me how far we had to go in teaching and training. I said, no, I have a car because of the youth in United Pentecostal Church in America. God bless our youth. Amen. I have a house because of everyone together helping. We have stove, refrigerator, washer and dryer because of our ladies in America. God bless our ladies. Amen. Together. You're not alone. Everyone doing their part. And we get the job done. And so I taught and taught and taught. I asked the board, can we do? No, we're not ready, Brother Abernathy. And I could get that. They're still wanting to make sure. And finally it came to the day where I realized it's time to move. Tithing reports were going well. Giving was going well. Ladies were giving thousands of dollars every year. They were supporting ARM, which is Global Missions in Africa, Africa Regional Mission. Zambia was one of the biggest givers in our region, giving to that. And I give God the glory to all that. And so we started rewriting our Constitution because it had to be completely done. Because up till now, headquarters appointed the superintendent. And so we had to change that and work on that. And also, where is the missionary going to fit into this program of nationalization? Because they need to know that, and missionaries need to know that. So this was a big undertaking, but God helped us. We brought a committee in, and we all worked together. And you know what, Brother Cox? They bought into it. It was their document. And in Africa and overseas, we live by those constitutions. If you have an issue and have to go to court, you have to be operating according to your constitution or you're in serious trouble. And so we did it very well. Well, God blessed us. I didn't want to leave them. And just, you know, I know some places where a missionary retires, they just nationalize and not really set up. And I just, that's not the will of God. And I wasn't ready to retire anyway at that time. And I said, Brother Richardson, please, it's time. And I said, you know what? I would like to see headquarters appoint someone to be superintendent. I don't deputize for another year, I think it was, or 2 years, 3 years. And I want to walk with this person, go on furlough, come back, and we'll have an election, their first election for national superintendent. He said, that sounds good. Let me run it by. And he got back to me and said, go for it. So I called the general board. This is important because it's a major step in the work. I called the board and I said, brethren, let's say today you were electing a superintendent. I told none of them what I was doing. And I would like you to elect from this board, the general board, who you would like or feel that would be good as a superintendent. And they elected Brother Morgan Mwanza. I said, okay, I've already got clearance from headquarters in America because we're still on the old constitution. They will appoint Brother Mwanza as superintendent. We will put it in the constitution that those years later, when I get back from furlough, we'll have the first nationalized election. We had Brother Hal there, and it was powerful. And so, thank God it went smooth. 3 years, awesome. Had people call me and say, Brother Abernethy, what about, whoa. You call the superintendent, Brother Mwanza. I'm not superintendent anymore. Man, I loved it. It was awesome. And so, we went to furlough. Everything went well. Constitution's all set up for 3-4 years later. We would have an election. 4 years later, we'd have an election because we came back for the conference. And you never know. I mean, men are men. The election came. He went on nominating ballot. And he's been on nominating ballot ever since. And the work hasn't hiccuped. They are self-supporting, self-propagating. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And I give God the glory. And you have a part in this. That work is a good sign of what God can do. It can bring it from down and bring it up. Amen. Let me give you some statistics tonight. Last field report, my wife and I went to Zambia. Please, everyone say, this is not boasting, Brother Abernathy. It's not. It's God. It's God. 8,041 constituents when we went to Zambia. Last year, 29,021 last year. You have a part in that. Because we're not alone. We all give. You go by giving. We go by going. Amen. Churches, when we went there, 95 churches and preaching points. Last year, 282 churches and preaching points. When we went to Zambia, there were 50 licensed ministers. And last year, there were 247 licensed ministers. Hallelujah! Last year, 2,629 was baptized in Jesus' name. Last year, 2,831 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Last year, 49 graduated from 6 campuses that we opened up for certificate level schooling and also our full-time Bible school, which is a bachelor's degree. In that, 49 graduated. General Conference last August, 5,447 in attendance, 153 received the Holy Ghost, 114 baptized in Jesus' name. You may look at, I don't give that much. I give what seems so little. Yeah, but you give what you give. She gives what she gives. He gives what he gives. We all do our part. This church does its part. The next church neighbor does their part. We all labor together, and God does the rest. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I have to tell you one more story, and I know this wasn't really a preaching message, but I want you to know these signs shall follow them that believe. That means you. Everyone say, that's me. That's me. I don't have to say, Pastor, this one needs healing. Can you pray when I'm on the job and somebody's sick? I can just pray for them. These signs show, I'm a believer. Now, we still call for the elders of the church. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is God wants to use every one of us. Here's the closing testimony I want to give. I was preaching for Brother Sichavula. And please understand, I'm not the prophet nor a son of a prophet. Never will be, I'm sure. Not aspiring to be one. Be careful. I've got an ornery back and I just got to be careful. I'm about done, I promise you. I will get done before 9:30. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I was walking like this praying before church service, Brother Cox, and when I walked over here, there was a gentleman sitting probably about where the lady is there. And it was just something that drew me to him. And I kept praying and I kept coming back to him. And I felt like this man has a genuine need. I don't know what it is. And I couldn't shake it. I went back up on the platform and I said, Brother Sichavula, even though I'm superintendent, I respect pastors because that's his church, his pulpit. I said, Brother Sichavula, can I please say something before we move on with the service? He said, sure, Brother Abernathy. I said, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm talking about together. We're not alone. But I feel in the Holy Ghost that there's someone here that has a great need. I don't know who you are. I don't know what the need is. But I felt it strong enough to call him to come forward. I said, sir, would you come down front? Please don't be embarrassed. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you. I just want you to come down here. We're going to pray for you. I said, church, we don't have to know what his need is. God knows what his need is. All we have to do is join together. Pray together. Bring our minds together. Bring our thoughts and our faith. Our faith. You may be a little weak in your faith today, but your neighbor could have a little more faith to share. We need to impart to one another our faith. And I said, I'm not going to ask him. I don't care. But God knows what his problem is. I said, now we're going to pray together, because Brother Abernathy has no power to do this. But there's power in this church today. And Jesus is able to do it. It's the will of God, whatever his need is. I said, let's bind together. Let's believe God for this miracle. And we prayed. And I felt that lift. And I shook him. Thank you, sir. Later, I found out his daughter was dying in the neighboring town. They were already putting oil on her body. He came here because there was a lady in our apostolic church that he knew how, she knows how to pray and get a hold of God. Now listen, she said, I'll come and pray for your daughter, but first, you have to go to church with me. See how God orchestrated that? She was sensitive. You have to go to church with me. What about when your family comes and visits you? Why don't you come and go to church with me? I'll go do this with you, but first you got to go to church with me. Who knows? So he came to church, and we prayed. She called my wife. She said, Sister Abernathy, we got to their house, and the girl was setting up and eating, healed. And she said, I asked him, when did it happen? And Sister Abernathy, it was the same time we were praying in the house of God that God heard and answered that prayer. Church, we got to bind together for our city. We got to bind together for the backsliders. We got to bind together for all those that are lost. Together, we can see the will of God accomplished. Amen. Your supporting missionaries is so vital. Home missionaries is so vital, but this is your Jerusalem. This is your Judea. This is your Samaria. Oh God, help us to bind together as never before. This is what it's all about. Let's raise our hands and say, God, I believe you for revival for Harvey. I believe you for a harvest of souls in Jesus' name.